A reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. Know, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and a sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The book of Hebrews is filled with Eucharistic imageries. It presents Jesus Christ as the high priest. Unlike the Jewish high priest, who year after year offered sacrifices for the atonement of his own sins and the sins of the people, Jesus Christ has offered the one perfect sacrifice. His sacrifice is not in atonement for his sins. He is perfect and sinless. His sacrifice is in atonement for our sins. The Jewish high priest offered the blood of animals, but Jesus Christ offers his own blood for us. He does not need to make sacrifices over and over again, because by his one perfect sacrifice, he has achieved the eternal perfection of those whom he has sanctified. Unlike the blood of Abel, which cried out to God for vengeance, the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us, heals us, and restores our once broken relationship with the Father. There is healing and power in the blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrificial covenant of Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of the promise that was made to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. The promise was that God will make a new covenant with his people. This new covenant is the ultimate sign of God's love for us, because he let his only son, Jesus Christ, die for us. Hebrews 12 is a high point of this Eucharistic teaching. Hebrews is a long written homily. It was addressed to a Christian community like ours. It was a community that was not undergoing any severe persecution, but one that needed to be strengthened in their faith as they struggled every day to live their Christian vocation. Think about this reading as being presented to a Christian gathering like our own. Jesus is saying to his people, where you have come to is Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This community understood their gathering as a holy gathering. They understood themselves as gathered around Jesus Christ in the new Jerusalem. Their partaking in the celebration of the Eucharist is a participation in the heavenly banquet, a banquet that takes place in the heavenly city of God. And because the Mass is a foreshadow of that heavenly banquet, they saw themselves truly as being in Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is truly the city of God, the city that cannot be destroyed. Jerusalem that cannot be attacked by foreign invaders, the Mount of God that lasts forever. The early Christians craved to enter into the city of the living God. Some of them got killed on their way to Mass. Some of them were killed during Mass. The persecution never stopped them from gathering to celebrate the Eucharist. What is more awesome than being in God's city, partaking in the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Sometimes we take for granted what a great gift we have. We have what our ancestors of faith in the Old Testament longed to have but could not. We have the Son of God come down to us and giving himself fully to us. At the Last Supper, he offered himself, "Take it, eat it, this is my body. Take, drink it, this is my blood." By these words, Jesus Christ gave himself to us without any reserve. Jesus Christ is saying to us, "I give myself fully to you, and I hold nothing back." This is the greatest act of selfless love. We should tremble to approach him and receive him. Mass should not be an obligation. Like the early Christians, it should be something we should crave to be part of. We do not need to drag our feet to get here because it is our Sunday obligation. We do not need to keep looking at our clocks and waiting for the hour to pass so that we can leave the church. It should be something we need to be excited about. Why? Because we are in the heavenly Jerusalem. We are in the city of God. We are in Mount Zion. You may not think about it this way, but where you are right now, this moment, is Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This ground is holy because Jesus Christ is present here in this Eucharistic celebration, and He is the Lamb of sacrifice. He is giving Himself fully to us without reserve. We should be super excited to be here. Last December, I was back in Nigeria for vacation. I hate calling it vacation because I always end up working harder and more than I usually will in Morgantown. I decided to visit a family I know in a rural community around the mountains. It is one of those places that GPS signals do not reach. Your directions are something like this: when you get to this river, turn right. When you see a big malanda tree, turn left. When the road split into two, continue on the one in your left, on and on and on. When I asked how far the place was, I was told, not too far. That wasn't helpful at all. We set out early in the morning and we're driving through this windy country road. The roads were unpaved and some of the bridges through small rivers were only supported by two planks. We had to get out of the car and only the weight of the driver and the car could cross the bridge. By the time we got to the community, it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. I wanted us to return that night, but we were persuaded to spend the night because it would be dangerous driving back in those roads. I decided to spend the night with the people. News went around the community that a priest was in town. People started gathering to visit with me. The people pleaded with me to say a mass for them. They have not had mass in a long time, and the priest only comes there only a few times every year for mass. This was shortly after Christmas, and they did not even have a mass at Christmas. Luckily enough, I had my mass kit in the car, as I always do when I'm on vacation in Nigeria. We decided to have the mass at 8 p.m. in the church. This community has no electricity. The small power generator the church had refused to work that night. It was decided that we have an outdoor mass in one of the family's home, and this family is a Muslim family, but we had to have the mass there because at least they had a power generator. I'm thinking to myself, here I am, a Catholic priest, having mass in a Muslim's family's home. The man was excited to have us celebrate the Eucharist in his compound. I did not for once think whether it was theologically appropriate for me to celebrate mass in a Muslim's home. I rather thought about the faith of these people who want to be part of this celebration of the heavenly Jerusalem. We gathered for Mass at 9 p.m. and the opening song to the liturgy lasted for 1 hour. At the Mass, there were Catholics, Anglicans, Presbyterians, African traditional religionists, Muslims, was like the whole community gathered, over 300 people present. Everyone sang, and the women danced and danced and danced and danced and danced and danced. We finally began the Mass with the sign of the cross at 10 p.m. The Mass lasted till 1 a.m. in the morning. The Mass was powerful and moving for me. I had never had such a wonderful experience in the celebration of the Eucharist, not even in my own very first Mass as a priest. If this was the only Mass I had to celebrate as a priest, I told myself it was worth my becoming a priest. At the end of the Mass, the people asked me if I would say a Mass for them the next morning before leaving. I told them I was leaving 6 a.m. in the morning. They said to me, "Give us the time you want the Mass and we will be there." I told them 5 a.m. in the morning. At 4 a.m. in the morning, their singing and dancing from the church woke me up from sleep. I got to the church at 5 a.m. and it was all filled with people. Not a single person was late for Mass. I celebrated with them that morning, and I departed at around 7 a.m. As I left, I thought to myself, these people may not be able to write a paper on the Eucharist, but they believed that something powerful was happening at that celebration, and that what brought them that night and early in the morning wasn't just an empty ritual, but Jesus Christ himself was present. They knew that they were in Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Fast forward 2 weeks later, I was in Morgantown, and at the daily mass, I had 12 people. As I was celebrating here in Morgantown, I remembered the singing, the dancing, and the faith of these people. I prayed that we may receive a new awareness of the power of the Eucharist in our lives, that we may have a greater appreciation of the Mass. We come here not because we are obligated to, rather we come because it is Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Christ gives himself to us in love, and we must receive this gift in love rather than as an obligation. As I always do, I'm going to give you a challenge this week. For your challenge, I want you to attend one daily mass this week. For those of you who cannot attend a daily mass because of work, I ask that you read the whole book of Hebrews. My prayer for you this week is that God may strengthen his faith in you, and that God may help you to appreciate the power of his body and blood. Lord Jesus Christ, we just want to thank you for the gift of yourself in the Eucharist. Help us as we prepare to receive you, to be open, to believe that you are present and that you will change our lives. Help us every day this week to appreciate you. Strengthen us with this special food from above, that we may be your disciples every day of our lives. All this we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.